Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast. Your backstage pass to revealing conversations with stars, creators, and industry leaders. On Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the director-choreographer Justin Peck and the playwright Jackie Sibley's Drury about the new project that brings them together. That's Illinois, a dance musical inspired by and using the music of the 2005 Sufjan Stevens album Illinois. Peck is the resident choreographer at New York City Ballet, and theater fans will know his work from the 2018 Broadway revival of Carousel, from films like Steven Spielberg's 21 version of West Side Story and Bradley Cooper's Maestro, and the recent off-Broadway musical adaptation of Buena Vista Social Club. Jackie Sibley's Drury, meanwhile, is the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright of Fairview and We Are Proud to Present, among other plays. Their genre-defying new collaboration, Illinois, is currently playing at Chicago Shakespeare Theater and will have a run at Park Avenue Armory in March. Now, Peck and Drury are in the virtual studio with me to tell me about creating stories from songs, telling them through movement, and in what ways this very non-traditional musical is kind of like a chorus line. Hello, Justin and Jackie. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, in Illinois, you're telling an original story through songs and dance, but it's not quite musical theater in a traditional sense. It sort of sprawls across performance genres, it seems to me, of music and theater and dance and kind of concert performance kind of in a way. Was that always the vision for this piece, or is that a form that kind of evolved as you got into the storytelling of it?
I think we had some initial conversations about, like, is there going to be text in this? What's the structure of this show going to be like? And we definitely went through a few different options of what it could be. And I think very early on, through some experimenting in the studio, we realized that this show really lives in a space of the music, of the experience of this album, and also in how it's sort of brought to life through gesture and movement and and staging and acting, but in a way that feels a little more akin to like watching a silent film, really. So that's the feel of the show. I mean, I think like the show itself has all the elements of a musical in it, right? It has music, it has lyrics, it has stagecraft, design, definitely storytelling. That's a big part of this. But it's not presented in the most like conventional, like this is a musical way. And I think it pulls from the inspiration that I have and that we have for the kind of outlier musicals that have influenced, for me at least, like throughout my childhood that I got to see, and then growing up and moving to New York as like a young person and getting to just like continue my education and like what a musical can be. And I think it can be a lot of different things. I think the form holds a lot, and part of the ambition here is to continue to stretch what that is.
And Jackie, was this a surprise to you, the way it sort of evolved to include fewer words than you might have expected going into it? What interested you about exploring storytelling in this way?
I guess, as we were talking about whether or not to add a lot of dialogue or text to the piece, I started to feel really strongly that I didn't need it. I think that there's something that's so exciting about the choreography that Justin has created that allows us to really connect empathetically in a really deep way, a deep emotional way with the characters. And so I feel like they're describing what they're experiencing so clearly that words would actually be confusing. And so I think that I'm a playwright, but my performance background, like I'm a experimental playwright, so I think about performance a lot in my work. And so it was exciting to get to, I don't know, play with a different kind of form than one that I'm used to being able to play around with. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah. And tell me about the origins of the piece. Where did the idea come from, and how did you both get involved?
Well, this is sort of a full circle project for me, at least. I mean, it's something that I first fell in love with the album when I was like 17 years old. And I remember this was before I began making dances even. And I heard this and I was so moved by its range and the storytelling that runs through it. And also just like how it's sort of genre bending or genre defying in a lot of ways. So, and I just continued to listen to it sort of on repeat for the last like 18 years. And eventually I started to work with Sufjan Stevens. I consider him to be one of my most important and closest collaborators. So we've done like 6 or 7 mostly dance focused projects where he's composed music for those. And we've built a friendship over the years. And so I think it dates back to like 2014 when I started to plant the seed with Sufjan, like, is there something in this? Could this be turned into a show or some kind of like stage musical? And I feel like he sort of deflected for a while. And then I was pretty relentless with it. And I think I finally like sort of wore him down to a point where he was like, all right, if you want to do something with it, take it, you have my blessing. It's for Sufjan. He talks about this music being sort of a lifetime ago. So his interest doesn't lie in going back and revisiting this music. He's a very forward, moving, forward thinking artist. So he's always searching for what's next. But he did offer his support, and he was very involved with like the music arrangement and putting together the music team for this to extend it forward. I guess like a few years ago, I started to get more serious about what this could be. And I did a couple very early on workshop sessions just in the studio with a small group of dance artists. And we started to just kind of find like what the language of the show is. And And I think the whole show started from a place of wanting to like honor this music, to honor this album and the experience of this album. But there was a second question that came into play, which is there a theatrical kind of narrative through line to find within all this? Is there a kind of like satisfying dramatic arc that we can create that an audience can get sucked into and connect with and feel things through? So, and that's once we opened up this project to that question, that's really when Jackie came into the mix. And so we started to work together on shaping all that and like exploring how we could create that, I guess, like this sense of order for the show and without losing any of the music. I think one of our parameters was like we wanted to use all of the music that runs through this album, and we're even giving in this most recent version some like extended interludes and things like that that help us connect the storyline. So it's been a kind of a cool like puzzle of a process for us, and I don't know if,
yeah.
And Jackie, what appealed to you about the idea? Was there a story there to be found? Like, what was your impression of the idea, and what was the work of sort of excavating what stories there were to be told?
Yeah, it's like I had this album on CD. I like bought it at the time, and so I was really intrigued by the idea of trying to work with it, but also like by myself couldn't imagine turning it into like a jukebox musical. I like didn't understand what that would be, and so as Justin said, he sort of did this primary like first workshop, which like from my understanding, it's like almost you need bodies to do a first draft of a dance piece. And so it was like putting that like first pass through is where he discovered the idea of a group of hikers telling stories around a campfire. And to me, that sort of imagining that kind of hushed sense of space worked with Sufjan's voice so well, and like was the starting for me to understand exactly how that we could even think about turning that into a narrative piece. And right now it's just been the play, or I don't know what to call it, the performance, the piece, the musical.
I like calling it a play too.
I keep on calling it a play. Yeah. But it's amazing, and it feels like this process has been really beautiful, both for myself personally and also just for all of the people that collaborated to make it. And it feels like this, it's been a lot of conversations and a lot of back and forth and a lot of watching and describing work to each other, both between us and also the dancers, the musicians, the designers. And so it almost feels like a group intuitive organic process, which has been really great.
Right. And so, Justin, how did you discover the central focus of the, or the central, the sort of organizing structure of the show is these hikers sitting around a campfire telling stories? Say more about how you discovered that in the process of being in the room with dancers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just an idea that came from studying up a little bit or researching like what goes into campfire storytelling, right? And I think of the show as honoring like the earliest forms of theater, which is really like, you know, humanity gathering around this like central light and heat source and seeking out nourishment, and then all of a sudden they're there together and they start to entertain one another and share stories. So that, and it's this kind of like, especially because there's no spoken words in the show, I find it to be this ubiquitous experience that almost everyone has had, where whether it's like out in the woods or on a hike or in someone's backyard or on the beach with a bonfire, like we've all gathered around a fire pit or a campfire, and there's something about the magic of the heat and the light as it hits our faces and as we look across at one another that just sets the tone for sharing stories. And that all blended so seamlessly with Sufjan's music and like the aesthetic of this album. and the various stories that get shared. And I think, like, for me, you know, since this is like a Stagecraft podcast, I think for me, a big reference point that helped me find more confidence in this idea is A Chorus Line, right? So A Chorus Line is a show that always returns to the line, right? So it's about this group of humans, in this case, dancers auditioning for this show. And we're one by one, we're kind of getting their stories, and they come forward and they share. Some of them are short, you know, single songs. Some of them are a little bit more extensive, and some of them build and build and build, and the relationships form. And somewhere in the background of all that is like a more substantial, extensive storyline that eventually unfolds. And I think there's a parallel to that structure, I'll say, with the show we're doing here, where it's a big part of the show is like establishing the ceremony of this campfire, establishing who these characters are, and then starting to slowly and in shorter ways, one by one, hear the stories from these characters until we delve into this fuller narrative arc that's guided by our central protagonist of the show.
I'll have more with Justin and Jackie right after the break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to my conversation with Justin Peck and Jackie Sibley's Drury, two of the creators of the new dance musical, Illinois.
These characters, they have names, they have very specific sets of, like, what can you tell me more about kind of figuring out, first of all, even how many people there were in the show and who they were and where they come from? And like, what was that process? Jackie, how did you help navigate that?
I mean, honestly, I don't feel like I did, but I guess we, Justin had always sort of put together this longer narrative arc around this protagonist. We've named him Henry. It's in a way, like, we just had to, you have to like name the characters to give them grounding and soul. And if we went through a bunch of different kinds of names and eventually just settled on, it's like a little bit cute, but like different county names in Illinois. You have to like limit your choices somehow. Otherwise, like, it's like, what about the name Beowulf? And you're like, that's terrible. But, and so Henry was our protagonist, and there's sort of, a bunch of the songs on the album that are, particularly emotional, sort of end up creating his arc. And outside of that, you have these other songs where the lyrics are really complex, and they're like asking questions about America and America, like American history and national identity and like Midwestern nostalgia. And so it was sort of like trying to allow those lyrics to inspire a narrative, but not trying not to illustrate those lyrics as a way of telling the story of the song. And so it was sort of this like delicate back and forth of figuring out how to construct a character that would be grappling with something that is also talked about in the song. Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. Were there songs that were particularly challenging, or songs that actually came very easily in terms of suggesting the characters that end up delivering them?
I think that the most difficult song is in some ways also like one of the most successful numbers in the show. It's this song about a town called Jacksonville. And it's a really complicated song, like in sort of academic questions that the song is asking, and trying to figure out how to turn that into a narrative that an audience would understand was, I think that was the thing that took the most drafts. Whereas a song like John Wayne Gacy is a really dark song, but the story of it is very clear. And so it's hard to hear, but it's clear what has to be done in a way. And so I feel like, yeah.
You just said the word drafts. What does a draft look like for a piece like this? I mean, there's how much is it words on paper, and how much of it is like you both with performers in a room trying something out? Is that considered a draft? Can you tell me a little more about how that the evolution of the piece as it went along?
I think there's a lot more time actually spent on the drafting outside of the studio than
drafting with choreography. Sorry, drafting choreography or drafting story
Just drafting story, yeah. Really. Just like spending the last, like we did our first iteration of the show up at the Bard Fisher Center. Right. And since then we've been kind of continuously working to revise and tweak and evolve the story. And I think the biggest breakthroughs would always come, Jackie and I would kind of like meet once a week, and we would just like not plan anything, and we would just talk about whatever part of the story or whatever kind of popped into our brains. And I always felt like we learned something or gained or like took a step forward from each one of those meetings. It was really helpful for the process. And so that is a longer process, and a part of that has to just do with like the economics of it all, because like just to like have, you know, 16 cast members in the room, it's like that's always going to be limited, right? It's like we're gonna get 3 weeks or whatever to rehearse with that many people, and so we try and do as much preparation work ahead of that, so that when we have that time we can maximize the productivity in the studio with them. And so that's kind of, I guess, like in a nutshell, the process of this.
Yeah. Once you got the performers in the studio and you started to work with them, were there ways that moments evolved that surprised you in particular ways as you started to see these stories on the bodies?
Yeah, I think I would say that it's very unique in how we've put the cast together for this, because it's not like a typical like, oh, let's just go out and do an audition and in a couple of days we'll just have a cast. Everyone involved in this project is very purposefully hand selected. I've worked with them in depth in the past, some of them for like over a decade, or I've been watching them perform for years, and there's a chance to bring them into this world. And I think it's about like assembling not only a room full of extraordinary talent, but also just a room of humans that that really connect. So there was a lot of thought put into like who should be a part of this. And I think what we're finding is that the cast really takes ownership in the roles that are being shaped. And there's a lot of, they bring a lot of themselves to what these roles are. And they also come to the room with good ideas about like how they can influence the narrative and how they can influence the movement and any, you know, little theatrical gesture that they can kind of like plant in there. So it's been a very unique and beautiful process that has just come from many, many, many hours of working at our craft and getting to like collaborate on other projects together and be fans of one another. And so that's kind of like the energy in the room. And I feel like it's interesting because we obviously we're making changes now the last couple of weeks, and also we had our first preview out here in Chicago at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Sunday. So yeah, 2 days ago. And we're putting in changes today. Soon as we get off this interview, we'll run down. And I guess I share that because like any little change has to be a conversation in depth with the cast and the particular roles that those changes affect, because it's, again, it's like a bit of a puzzle of a show to figure out. So if you move one thing, it alters maybe like a character dynamic or a character arc somewhere else. And so it's like kind of like the butterfly effect in that way. So it's, we have to be very conscientious of all that too.
We haven't talked yet about the movement vocabulary of the piece. How would you describe it? Is it a, Justin, I know you do a lot of ballet work, but are there balletic elements? Is it modern? Like, tell us more about kind of
I guess most people know me as like the resident choreographer of New York City Ballet, and I get to do a lot of work there, which I'm really lucky to do. But my history as a dancer and as a student of dance and a student of theater, it all really starts with, for me, it's really started with theater. Those were the earliest influences for me. So, you know, shows like Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Funk, like that was really the show that I was like, oh my God, like the movement expression in this is just so, incredible and profound. And I saw it when I was like 9 years old, and that's what turned me to dance in the first place. And then seeing shows, you know, like Moving Out, or even like some of the more well-known ones, like A Chorus Line and West Side Story, let's say, like even the film of West Side Story, as a kid, those were like really the big influences for me. And I always loved theater. And the last stop on the kind of dance education train for me was ballet, because I resisted it for so long. But I grew to love it once I found my way towards it. And so that's sort of like how I've passed through and into like the New York City Ballet Institution. But I guess what I share all that just to say that I feel like this show is this unique amalgamation of so many influences on me over my entire lifetime. It has everything from, you know, theater dancing to modern dance to break dancing to tap dance to even like a little bit of like that balletic backbone that runs through it. And my goal is really to try and present a movement language that is unique to my own signature as a choreographer, as like a dance maker, and also something that's unique for this show in particular. In the same way that if, you know, you look at like a Fosse show and you're like, oh, I know that that's Bob Fosse because he's sort of like honed what his signature is, with his movement, the musicals that he created. So, that's part of the ambition here. And also like it comes into play because the storytelling and the aesthetic of the show really demands for it. So it's been a really great opportunity to get to explore that and to take a big swing at what that could be.
Yeah. And Jackie, did you have any background in dance before you came into this? Have you ever danced?
I have danced at parties, but I never took dance classes or anything like that as a kid, but I've consumed a lot of dance, and I've weirdly worked on ever worked on a musical before this one, but I've worked with choreographers in my plays multiple times. And okay. There's something about, I've been hearing the term bunhead being thrown around the rehearsal room. So I didn't realize that was like a term outside of that TV show, but yeah.
I keep telling Jackie she's a bunhead because she's like, she'll just come in and be like, oh, I saw Batsheva last night. And I'm like, what? there's a real love of dance there, right?
Yeah.
Have you discovered about anything about dance as an art form working on this? And how it might continue to develop in your own work or be a part of your own work?
I mean, I don't have the ability to be physically articulate or to describe movement and gesture in that specific way, but it's something that it like makes the case for live performance in a way that I don't know that playwriting can. And so it's something that I'm continuously inspired by. And like the show, it really sort of, for me, pushes the boundaries of like what is possible storytelling wise. And so I get excited about thinking about other ways to like collaborate on different kinds of stories. But it's been a really cool process.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if your experience will resonate, do you think, in your future work as you're figuring stuff out? It sounds like it will.
Yeah, I hope so. It's been really an inspiring process to be a part of. I think I probably already said that, but it's true. And both in seeing how Justin is working with all of the people that are in the room, and also like, as he said, like how in control of their characters each individual performer is. Like it feels to me that like everyone is able to both have an eye towards incredibly small and specific moments, and also towards the overall production in a way that like, I think that coming from like a straight theater background, it's really hard to ask actors to both be inside of a scene and also thinking about the larger arc. And I don't know how or why these performers are able to go back and forth in that way. It feels sort of almost more akin to movie acting, where like you're a producer and a performer at the same time, like you're able to be inside and outside of the process. And it's been really, inspiring.
The show is in Chicago right now. It will come to the Park Avenue Armory in Manhattan in March. And how do you think about a piece like this living on after this initial sort of premiere group of runs? It's different from like Jackie writes a play script and then it gets done, you know, into the future. It is a thing that exists solidly and can get done into the future. How does something like this live on for you, do you think?
That's a good question. I think we haven't quite figured that out yet. I think the piece, as it's forming and as it continues to be performed, it'll tell us what, where it wants to go and what it wants to be. And of course, like we have the hope that as many people as possible can see this and experience it. And we have a great team of producers who are working on this to help extend it as far as it feels appropriate for this. But as far as I don't know, like other productions of it in the future, I think it is something that's sort of wed to the staging of this. You know, it's like it is kind of a stage play, but it's just told through the language of dance. Mm. So there's something about it that feels like the movement language is imperative to how the show exists. So I guess again, going back to like a chorus line comparison, for the most part, that show is done with the original choreography. I think there's maybe like exceptions here or there. And I think like it's a similar importance for the show and how it like continues to live on from this production.
Yeah. And what's next for you both? What does each of you have on your plate that we should know about?
Buena Vista Social Club.
Thank you for the plug, Jackie. Mm-hmm. We had a really nice run of Buena Vista mm-hmm. Social Club at the Atlantic Theater that just mm-hmm. closed on, I missed it, the closing mm-hmm. on Sunday because it was our first preview here. Yeah. But it was just a very special project to get to work on. I collaborated with my wife, Patricia Delgado, on the choreography for that. Mm-hmm. I think we're hopeful that we'll see some kind of future soon for that.
Great.
Yeah. Jackie?
I am just trying to get this show up and then I'll figure it out after.
All right. Well, we look forward to everything you both have got coming up, and Chicago audiences can see Illinois right now, and New York audiences can see it in March. Thank you both. It was great talking to you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
That was Justin Peck and Jackie Sibley's Drury, the creators of Illinois, now playing at Chicago Shakespeare Theater and coming to the Park Avenue Armory in Manhattan in March. If you enjoyed this conversation here on Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps. or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes and subscribe at all the places you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Instagram and Twitter at Gordon B. Cox. You can also check out my newsletter about international theater. It's called Jakewees, and it's at gordoncox.substack.com. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.